continue. The exercises on 108, 119, etc. of the primer introduce made-up stories or fact patterns. Because the fact patterns are imaginary, although often real-life events are mirrored or alluded to, they're called hypotheticals. Hence, you'll hear the expression, hypothetical type exam. I'll refer to such fact patterns as essays, hypotheticals, and hypos for short. Both law school and bar exam hypotheticals typically present complex fact scenarios to be sorted out much as a competent lawyer or judge would sort out a tangled web of events applying relevant law. For example, civil procedure law is applied to the civil procedure hypo, corporations law to the corporations hypo. Indeed, often you're instructed to imagine that you're an attorney, or a judge, or a law clerk as you address a hypothetical. Note, many law students, professors, and supposed experts on the subject refer to hypotheticals, fact patterns, as questions. This is a misnomer. You'll hear the expression, call of the question, meaning the question or instruction that usually follows the what. The question meaning the fact pattern. In other words, the fact pattern or hypothetical is mistakenly, misleadingly, loosely referred to as a question. When I use the word question, I'm referring not to the fact pattern, but to the literal question or instruction typically posed at the end of the fact pattern. Thus, at the end of the torts hypothetical on page 90, you find the instruction, discuss the rights and liabilities of all the parties. This instruction technically is not a question, but when I say question, I'll include such instructions. Refer now to diagram 1 among the loose numbered sheets that accompany your program. Stop. Continue. These are the things you have to be good at if you're going to do well on law school exams. Perhaps you have a notebook handy and are tempted to take notes. That's unnecessary. If you haven't looked at the During Lose section of the bookmark, do so now. Stop. Continue. We're going to cover a lot of territory. Students in the live program often fret that they're not going to retain it all. The key is to focus on understanding. Each concept presented will reinforce what went before and introduce what follows. Block by block, we'll build a fully integrated whole. It should all simply hang together and make sense, which assists retention. It's kind of like a puzzle. If one piece is missing but the others are in place, you'll have a good idea of what the missing piece looks like. Anything you can't remember or that needs clarifying can be looked up in the primer. You, of course, can take as much time as you need and, if necessary, backtrack the audio. Later in the program, we'll talk about how to take fewer notes in class as well. Returning to diagram 1, what I want you to think about throughout the program is the question at the bottom. What is a premise? This is the key concept, the linchpin for grasping the Lose approach. You're going to be looking for what you come to understand as premises and hypotheticals. Find premises, and you identify the so-called issues a professor or bar examiner wants discussed. Your legal knowledge, everything you put in your course outlines, you'll come to understand as a compilation of premises. You're going to analyze each premise, i.e. each issue, and present that analysis in roughly a concise paragraph. One paragraph per premise, one paragraph per issue. So it's very simple what we propose to do. We want to make addressing any and all exams predictable. We want to identify relevant premises and hypotheticals, then present the analysis of each premise in roughly a concise paragraph. The response to every hypothetical, then, will roughly be a series of paragraphs, each containing the analysis of a premise, i.e., analysis of an issue the professor or bar examiner wants discussed. This program lays the foundation for you to be an expert at identifying, analyzing, and presenting the analysis of premises, i.e. issues, no matter the subject, the professor, the hypothetical, or the question or instruction posed. We'll take it in stages. First, again, I'm assuming almost total ignorance, so listeners beyond the first semester of law school may find some of this elementary. I want to introduce you to the hypothetical type essay exam format featured in virtually all law schools and how most law students respond to such exams. The fact that the essay format is omnipresent in law school suggests that there are characteristics that all such exams share in common. The typical law student response to such exams will point up characteristic missteps to be avoided and provide a counterpoint to the efficient yet disciplined approach we'll seek to implement. This normally occupies 45 minutes or so in the live program. We'll spend the next couple hours developing a disciplined step-by-step approach to identifying premises and hypotheticals, any hypo, no matter the subject or question instruction posed. This will solve the problem of issue identification, commonly referred to in law school as issue spotting. This normally takes us to the lunch break in the live program, after which we explore the critical skill in impressing law professors, namely analysis. How does one go about analyzing a premise, i.e. an issue, as a competent lawyer would? We'll finish, as we do in the live program, by learning how to present analysis of premises concisely, roughly one paragraph per premise or issue. If you've never taken a law essay exam, I assume at this juncture that you've at least pondered, as instructed, the hypos on pages 108, 119, 129, and 133 of the primer, and the questions instructions that follow each hypo. If not, do so now. If you've never taken a law essay exam, and you didn't attempt to write out a few issues prompted by the first paragraph of the torts hypo on page 90, it's important that you take time to do that as well. There's no question but that students who've experienced firsthand some of the confusion engendered by hypotheticals better understand and appreciate what follows. Stop.